How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I saw your sign and you said stop and come up.
Okay, great. My name's Tony. Can you, you want to hop out? I'm a little short.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll meet you over here. Alrighty. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The Iowa winter wardrobe. I'm from Southern California, and when I first moved out here, it was in December, and I see people running around in sweatshirts and shorts, and I felt I was going to die. Well, here, no, don't walk in the snow. Again, my name's Tony.
Elijah.
Hey, well, that's a good Bible name.
Yeah, that's what everybody says when they hear it.
So, Elijah, do you have any particular spiritual beliefs?
I'm religious. I believe in God. I lived in Alabama my whole life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where that came from. They're really Christian.
Okay.
My ex-girlfriend's family was, like, really Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of stuff happened there that kind of just, like, brought me wanting to be closer with God.
Okay.
I'm not, like, I'm a college student. Like, I'm not, like,
Do you go right over here to Ambrose?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, I'm not the closest with him, but it's, like, something that I've always, like, wanted to grow or, like,
okay.
learn more about. But then with, like, all the stuff that happened now, it's, like, yeah, I gotta find something, someone.
So. Okay, all right. So, since we've known each other for 2 minutes now, I'm gonna ask you some personal questions.
That's good.
So what does Elijah think is going to happen to him when he dies?
I mean, I believe there's a heaven and a hell.
Okay.
Beyond that,
I do too.
I don't know much more about
all right.
that.
Do you think a person has to be a good person to go to heaven?
I don't think, like...
Not perfect. None of us are perfect. Do you think they have to be a good person?
I've always just said that, like, well, nobody's, I don't know, like, what you would classify as good. I don't know
What would you classify as good? So, let me ask it a different way.
Okay.
If you were to die today, and obviously I don't want that. If you were to die today and stand before God, and God says, Elijah, why should I let you into my heaven?
Right.
What would you say?
To be honest, I probably wouldn't have a good answer.
What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I've sinned a lot.
Yeah.
I've always wanted, the want has always been there, but
okay.
never like a initiative, I guess.
Okay.
And I like pray every now and then.
Yeah.
But it's always felt like I've been praying and wanting to be close, but still like pushing it to the side when.
Okay. So what, when you say push it aside, what brings that about? Why do you push it aside?
I still sin.
Circumstances,
like,
or?
Circumstances, yeah. Like, when certain times where I should be praying and looking for God, I probably, like, resort to, like, I don't,
okay.
I guess I should say. Like, there's a phrase that I heard, like, you can't walk with God and hold hands with the devil. Like, you can't, like, play both.
Sounds like a country song, almost.
It is, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, now, you said you believe in heaven and hell.
Yeah.
A lot of people will say they believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. You said you believe in both. What do you think a person has to do to go to hell?
To, like, resent God, like make it, like, a decision that you choose not to believe him, to, like, resent him from your life, let's say.
Okay. All right. So... Let me put you in a... Have you ever been in a courtroom before?
No.
You have? Okay. I spent a lot of time in courtrooms, too, as a deputy sheriff.
Okay.
Back in L.A. a number of years ago. Let's say you broke the law in some way.
I have a warrant for my arrest.
What's that?
I have a warrant for my arrest.
Okay. All right. So let's say that Davenport PD comes by, they recognize Elijah, and I doubt they would, driving by. But let's... Right. Just for the story.
Uh-huh.
There's that guy Elijah. We know he has a warrant. Let's get him. And they come over, they scoop you up, they take you to jail. You're standing before the judge on this warrant, and the warrant says, Elijah, because you broke the law, I'm going to sentence you to death. And unlike in today's government where you've got 10, 20 years of appeals, they're going to immediately escort you into the next room, strap you to a gurney, and put you to sleep like a stray dog. Okay? But just before they do that, just before they take you away, the judge, you're already guilty, judge sentences you to death. But before they do that, the judge, who has the authority to sentence you to death, stands up from behind his bench, he takes off those black robes of authority, He steps down and he says, Elijah, it would be just for me to send you to your death, but I'm going to take your place. And the judge walks into the next room. He's strapped to a gurney and he's put to sleep like a stray dog. You're set free. Not because you're innocent, but because the judge determined that what was required by the law was death, and he went and substituted for you. He died in your place. What would you think of that judge?
That sounds like Jesus.
Okay, yeah, exactly. See, you and I just met, but there are a couple of things you and I have in common.
Right.
We both know God exists, and so does every other human being.
Right.
Right? All we have to do is look at creation and see that there is a creator, right? But God testifies to his glory through creation. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, right? And he's also written his law in our heart. He's given us a conscience. We know the difference between right and wrong. We're different people. I'm old enough to be your dad, at least, maybe even your granddad, but at least your dad. Different generations, different backgrounds, different walks of life, different upbringings. We're different men, but we both know it's wrong to lie. Not because of how we were raised or by whom or when or where, but because the God who created us isn't a liar and he wrote that law in our heart. We know it's wrong to steal for the same reason. We know it's wrong to murder in a physical sense. God equates hatred with murder. He said whoever hates his brother is a murderer. We know that's wrong because God's not a thief. We know it's wrong because God's not a murderer. We know it's wrong to look at a woman with lust. We know that's wrong because the God who created us and wrote that law in our heart, he's not an adulterer. He's not a fornicator. He's not sexually immoral. He's perfect morality, right? So, but yet you and I, by our very nature, we break his law every day. We sin, as you said. We sin against him. We break his law every day, if not with our minds, if not with our mouth, with our actions, right? And so this God who is good, who is holy and righteous and just, who created us, we're one day going to stand before him to give an account for our life. He is the judge of the universe. And he's going to judge us according to that law that he's written on our hearts,
right.
A law that we break every day.
Right.
And because he's good, he's not going to be like a corrupt judge. These are friends of mine.
Gotcha.
He's not going to be a corrupt judge and take a bribe. He's not going to be a corrupt judge and say, you know what, I like Elijah's curly hair, I'm going to let him go. The next guy that comes in is bald, I'm going to send him away. No, he's not arbitrary, he's not corrupt, he can't be bribed. He's righteous, he's holy, he's just. And so, because you've broken his law, he's going to punish that sin. And the punishment he's determined for sin, all of it, what we would call a white lie, you know, or flying a plane into a building, and everything in between, the punishment he's determined for sin is eternity in hell. Okay? That's
right.
Bad news.
Right.
But this same God, who's the Bible says is angry with the wicked every day, who will judge the world in righteousness, this same God is also loving, merciful, gracious, and kind. And he showed that great love, Elijah, some 2,000 years ago when God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Truly God, truly man, and without sin. Born of a virgin, just like the prophet Isaiah. Elijah was a prophet too. But just like the prophet Isaiah declared some 700 years before his birth, born of a virgin, as God in the flesh, he lived a perfect life in thought, word, and deed for some 33 years, a life neither you nor I can live for 33 seconds.
Right.
And yet even though he knew no sin, even though he was God in the flesh, he voluntarily submitted himself to that torturous death of that Roman cross. God the Father made him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to become sin on behalf of men like you and me, so that through him...
Hi,
Sarah. Yeah, this is my friend Sarah. This is Elijah.
Hi,
you
too. Sorry, my hand's a little wet.
God allowed his perfect and precious and priceless Son to die a death he did not deserve, to take upon himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our crimes against him. But he didn't simply die on the cross. He was buried, and then 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Unlike Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, and every other false god created in the imaginations of men, Jesus Christ is alive today, and he will return We don't know when, but he will return at a time of the Father's choosing. Right? What God commands of us, Elijah, you, me, Sarah, Caleb, what he commands of us is that by faith, we turn from our sin and we put our trust in Christ alone for our salvation. It's not Jesus plus Elijah's good works. It's not Jesus plus Elijah's upbringing. It's not Jesus plus which church Elijah goes to. Salvation is by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. And if we receive that gift, the Bible says the wages of sin, what we deserve for sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If we receive that gift, he will forgive our sin. Not because we're good, not because we've done anything to earn it or deserve it, but because of the goodness of God that would allow his son to die for sinners like you and me. He'll forgive our sin. He'll remove them as far as the east is from the west. And he promises in his word to remember him no more. I have three daughters, all older than you, all grown, all one still in the house, but I have three daughters. When they were young, they would fight like kids fight, right? And then they would say they were sorry, right? And then they would get along for a while, and then something would happen, and one of the sisters would say, well, remember when you did that? You remember when you did? Well, right? They hold those records against each other and bring them back up later on, right? God doesn't do that. Everything that God the Father required of God the Son to put an end to sin and death, to accomplish what we cannot because of our sin, everything that God required so that people like you and me could be saved from the wrath of God to come and receive the forgiveness we don't deserve, all of it was accomplished by Jesus Christ. And he says, I will remove it as far as the east is from the west, and I will remember it no more. And if you receive that gift of eternal life by faith, not by works, but by faith, he'll forgive your sin. You'll be reconciled to the God that you've spent your life offending by your sin, like me. And you'll have the assurance of eternal life. Again, not because you're good, but because of the goodness of God that would allow his son to die for a sinner like us, like you, like me, right? And God who's perfectly holy, he doesn't negotiate with sinners. He's provided only one way for us to be made right with him. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Is there anything that you heard that you disagree with? It's not a test. I want you to be honest with me.
No,
okay. Can you think of, you mentioned sin and circumstances and, you've thought about getting close to God and then sin comes creeping back in and what have you. I'm paraphrasing. That's not exactly what you said. Is there any sin in your life, Elijah, that you love so much that you're willing to die and spend eternity in hell so you can enjoy that sin in this life? Then is there any reason why you wouldn't repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation?
That's what I'm working on.
Okay. Well, you're putting the cart before the horse, okay? Because this begins with faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't end with faith in Jesus Christ. It's not, I'm gonna stop doing this, I'm gonna stop doing that, I'm gonna clean up my act, I'm gonna start going to church, and then I'm gonna put my trust in Jesus. Well, you're putting your trust in your works.
Right.
Jesus is just the cherry on top of this spiritual cake you're building,
right?
But you're the one that's doing the work,
right?
The Bible says it's by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. See, salvation's only possible through what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross.
Right.
And when he causes someone to be born again, that's what Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. When he causes someone to be born again, literally born from above, he takes their heart of stone that's an enemy with God, and he gives them a new heart that loves God. We begin to love the things that God loves. We begin to hate the things that God hates. Not perfectly, but the desire of our heart now is to please our Father in heaven, not to earn or to keep his love, but because we're so thankful for the love he gave. Snow's finally melting. Let's say you were my neighbor.
Right.
You come knocking on my door one day and you say, hey, Tony, I'm gonna shovel the rest of this snow for you so that I could be your son.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna smile and I'm gonna say, finally, this young man's gonna get me out of shoveling this snow. Right. It's backbreaking for a 57-year-old man. And I think it's cool that you want to be my son, but I'm going to be honest with you and I'm going to say, Elijah, shoveling my snow won't make you my son, right?
Right.
But what if you were my son? And I come home one day and I see Elijah, no one asked him, no one told him to do it. I see Elijah shoveling the snow. Half the time I got to beg him to do it, I got to argue with him to do it, he's giving me excuses. What kids do, right? What I would do. But you're doing, you're shoveling the snow. So I'm thinking now, all right, what's up? Bad grades? Did he just drop out of Ambrose? A girl I need to know about? Does he want my wallet? Does he want the keys? What's going on?
Right.
And you see me and you come running over and you say, hey Dad, yeah, I know it might look funny to you, but I'm shoveling the snow. No, I don't want anything from you. I'm just so thankful that you're my dad and I love you and that's why I'm shoveling the snow.
Right.
That'd make most grown men cry, including a blubberhead like me. When you die and stand before God, when someone dies and stand before God, they don't say, hey, look at all the work I've done, so now adopt me as one of your children and let me into your kingdom.
Right.
Jesus said about people like that, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, that, or the other thing? And Jesus said, I will say to them on that day, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. They weren't putting their faith and their trust in Christ. They were putting their faith and their trust in their works.
Right.
They were trying to work their way into heaven.
Right.
Right? But if God causes you to be born again, Elijah, the evidence of that will be that you will turn from your sin and you will put your trust in Christ alone for your salvation and you will seek to live a life pleasing to him, not to earn his love, not to keep his love, but because you're so thankful for the love he gave you through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. You and I are part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. Mm-hmm. It's not a scare tactic. It's just a reality of the world we live in.
Right.
We're all going to die someday. Mm-hmm. Maybe me sooner than you. Maybe you sooner than me. I don't know. Maybe you'll make it home. Maybe you won't. I don't know. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Again, not scare tactics. Reality. 160,000 people die every day on this planet. Right? And with what we've been looking at and considering and being told for the last year, those kind of things are running around in our head all the time. That's why the Bible says now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that our life is but a vapor. We're literally here today and gone tomorrow. We might have 70, 80, 90 years in this flesh walking on this planet, and then we have eternity forever, where we're either going to be in heaven with God or we're going to be in hell. And hell is God's hell. He created it. It doesn't belong to the devil. It's not the demon's property. It's not a place for partying. That's God's prison forever and ever.
Right.
And God, who's so gracious and kind, Elijah, has made a way for you to be forgiven and receive that gift of eternal life. It's not a get out of hell free card where, okay, well, I'll ask Jesus into my heart and then I can just go on and live however I want. That's hypocrisy, right? But salvation is real. He saved me some 33 years ago. How old are you?
19.
Okay, I was like 23, 24, close to your age. I thought I was a good person, was going to church every Sunday, was singing in the choir. And then I'd go to the county jail as a deputy sheriff and I'd rough up inmates for fun. And then I'd go to church on Sunday and sing hallelujah. And sing in the choir and think, well, I'm good with God. I was a hypocrite. I was lost. I was dead in my sin. But then someone shared the gospel with me that I'm sharing with you today. And God used that to bring me to repentance and faith in Christ. And he saved me, not because I'm good. He didn't save me because of who I am. He saved me in spite of who I am. And I have the assurance, I know I'm going to heaven, Elijah. And that might even sound arrogant, but again, it's not because I've done anything to earn it or deserve it. It's because God graciously allowed his son to die for my sins. And the indication that he's done that for you is you will turn from your sin and you'll put your trust in Christ alone for your salvation.
I hear you.
Yeah. Any questions? Thoughts? What's going through your head right now?
Everything you just said.
Yeah? Okay. Do you have a Bible?
I don't.
Can I give you one?
Yeah, of course.
Don't walk in the snow. So I think I have it bookmarked. Let's see. Do I? No. There we go. So if you haven't read the Bible much, a great place to start is the Gospel of John. Put that in there. That's a bookmark. It's a good place to start. That's me.
Okay.
No salesman's going to come to your door. All I know is you're Elijah who drives a big red truck, right?
Right?
But if you have any questions or you want to sit down and talk about this more, grab some coffee, something,
okay.
Right? All I know is you're Elijah, but that's how you can get a hold of me. But whether you do that or not, Elijah, there's nothing more important than your soul. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but yet forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Put your trust in Christ, my friend. God bless you. Thank you for stopping. Thank you for standing out in the cold. All right. And again, 24/7, if I can be of any help to you, you just let me know. I hope so. God bless you, Elijah. Have a great day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.